Okay, so let's open our Bible to Psalm 91. And the title of today's sermon is what? Can we say that together? What's the title of today's sermon? Come on, let's do that again. What's the title of today's sermon? Protection. Amen. So let's open our Bible to Psalm 91. I would like a very enthusiastic reader to volunteer to read Psalm 91, verse 1-2. Let's divide it. Let's have two readers. So someone read for us Psalm 91, verse 1-8. And then the other person, so let's have a sister do that. And then the brother on the other side will read verse 9-16. Psalm 91, we are reading verse 1-8. Please follow in your Bible.
Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Runke. Okay, brother on the other side of the church. Yes, let's have the mic. We're reading verse 9 now to 16, Psalm 91. Yes? Any of the brothers here? Psalm 91, verse 9 to 16. Let's go for it. Please follow in your Bible.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which
because
is my
refuge. Because thou hast made the Lord. Yeah? I think that's more powerful in King James or New King James than New Living. New Living says if you make the Lord. But that is it's just giving a condition. But he said, because you have made the Lord your refuge. Please continue.
Even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he had set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will send him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him thy salvation.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay, so the title of today's sermon again is Divine Protection. Amen. And I'll just dive in. So verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can see there's a condition. So to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I need to dwell where? In the secret place of the Most High. Question is, what is the secret place of the Most High? Yes, let's have some answers. I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because that's divine protection. Amen? The shadow of the Almighty is what? The place of divine protection. It's actually more than divine protection. Yeah? But that's the big word. Under his shadow. Amen? Under his wings. Under his feathers. Hallelujah. But to do that, I need to dwell. I need to abide in the secret place. What is the secret place of God? What is the secret place of the Father? What is the secret place of the Most High? Yes? Let's have some answers. Sorry? Spirit, okay. I don't know where that's going, but that if it goes in the right direction, it could be right. But I need more explanation. Yeah? Yes?
Also the presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord. Yes, that's a very good answer. And of course, you need the Holy Spirit, you know, to engage in that presence of the Lord. Yes, more answers. What is the secret place of the Most High? Anyone? Come on, church. Let's be active. Don't look sober. Look, The place of worship. Yes, that's a good answer. I'm not looking for one answer, obviously. It's a group of answers. The presence of the Lord, the place of worship. Can I just ask you, what is the presence of the Lord? No, I would.
Okay. It's everywhere where you communion, you encounter, you speak to God. You speak
yeah,
to
so, because God is everywhere anyway. So, God's presence is everywhere. But you will not, you see, it's not, when we talk about the presence of the Lord, we're not talking about a particular place. We're talking about engaging the presence of the Lord. God is everywhere. But if you don't engage that presence, you will not experience that presence. You have to engage it. Like I always say, you know, the Holy Spirit can be in your house, in your guest room. You lock him up there. Yeah, he's in your house. But if you no communication, no communion, he can't benefit you. Amen? The Holy Spirit, now if you are born again, the Holy Spirit is inside you. But you may live all your life and never experience the Holy Spirit because you did not engage with him. Amen? Yes, more answers. What is the secret place? Those answers are good. The presence of the Lord, the place of worship. What do you mean by worship? Because if you ask me, I will tell you that everything I do to honor God is worship. Yeah, this morning I came with Kevin and Isaiah, we set up, is worship. Amen? When you came and you wiped off the pulpit, is what? It's worship. So what do you mean by worship? Is that what you mean or something more, you know, direct? What were you thinking of when you were saying worship?
I think the verse that came to my spirit is, I will enter his gate. No, not that one. The verse that came to my spirit was, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy.
Amen. Yeah, okay. But I like the first one too. He said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and I'll come into his court. If you are coming into God's presence, you have to go to the gates. You have to enter the courts. And so, praise worship. Are you there? Praise worship is an entrance point into his presence. Amen? Any other answer? By the way, the other verse, we will open it. Any other answer?
Living in the shelter of the Most High, I will say it's not, I won't call it a place. It's your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a very good standing with God, then, I mean, God will be with you. I mean, it's not like a place. He who believes in me, he who lives in my ways, who does to my commandment. I mean, who does the will of God. Once we do this, then, I mean, consider yourself living under the protection, shelter of God.
Thank you very much for that. So what we're saying is that the presence of God is not just a place, it's a relationship. And I was talking about engagement. As I engage with God, I am engaging his presence. The secret place of the Most High is where God dwells. And that is his presence. I engage his presence through praise worship. Yeah? I engage his presence through prayer. I engage his presence through communal conversation. I engage his presence through listening to what he has to say. Yes, I saw your hand.
I was going to say those who seek God, who are in the constant state of seeking him.
Amen. You are never going to be in the secret place of the Most High if you don't seek his presence. Amen. If your life is too busy, like I was trying to explain last week, and all you just want to engage God is when you are in trouble. Yeah? You've missed the secret place. Amen? You have entered, if you live like that, you have just entered the beggar spot. Amen? You're in the beggar spot. You're not in the secret place. The secret place is daily you seek him. Amen? When you seek him, you are in the secret. Now, notice the word is secret. That is, it is not everybody is there. Amen? In fact, when you say something is secret, it means that you have to go from the open into what? The secret. So they'll talk about seeking, engaging, practicing his presence. Praise the Lord. Please open your Bible to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Yes, so someone wants to read. Psalm 16, verse 11. I just owed for you. Go on.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for more. Thank you.
Forevermore. Amen. So this is the path of life, or the place where you can enjoy the life of God, the abundant life, the victorious life. Yeah? Where? In his presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now notice, I always say that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Amen? If you like Burger King, anybody like Burger King? KFC, anybody like KFC? Ah, thank you for your honesty. At least I like your honesty. Amen? And I don't know who will take who now, because things have changed. I was going to say your husband takes you, but now too, it can go the other way. Now, I was saying on fellowship on Friday, I said, if your husband refuses to buy you flowers, 10 years, no flowers, try buying him. Amen? Things can change. Hallelujah. In so long that we are in the world today where the woman says, I want to be everything the man is, you can buy him flowers if he's not buying you flowers. Amen? Because you're not going to make him buy you flowers after 10 years if you don't do something differently. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, coming back to what we're saying, if your husband or your wife takes you to KFC and you love KFC, you come out feeling what? Happy. Amen. That's why I'm not too tripped about the word happy. It's an emotional word. Amen. Say, you make me happy. There are many things that can make you happy in this life. And there are also many things that can make you sad. You're just being a human being. Those are just your emotions. Hallelujah. But God lives in a realm that is higher than your emotions. That realm can affect your emotions too. Amen? So what God gives you is not happiness. What he gives you what? Is joy. Joy is deeper than happiness. Joy can be sustained even when you are sad. Hallelujah? In the physical, things are not looking okay. But in your spirit, you know that it's going to turn around for your good. You know that something good is coming in for you. You know that you're going to, you know that it will see you through. The vision that God has given you may not seem to be coming alive. But as you engage his presence, as you praise him, as you worship, as you pray, you get a revelation of what God will do. Hallelujah. You get a revelation of what God will do. That will give you what? Joy. Hallelujah. It will give you joy. Sometimes you're a human being. Amen? So, because you're a human being, you go through emotions. Amen? Nobody's immune from good and bad emotions. Nobody's immune from temptation. Amen? You cannot, the day you cannot be tempted is the day you are, 6 feet below. But so long you are in this world, you can be tempted. The Bible says you should watch and what? And pray. Why? So that you will not fall. There are some things you will not enter into at all. Because you prayed ahead. Hallelujah. This is the value of prayer. That's why God has not called you as a Christian to be a bread and butter consumer. You know bread and butter Christians? They wake up on Sunday. I know it's in you. Or can we just keep it still? Bread and butter Christians, they wake up on Sunday, put on their best clothes, jewelry, makeup, deck up, and they take a photo and put it on Facebook and say, it's going to be awesome at church today. God is bigger than that. That is not Christianity you are seeking for. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not forbidding you. I'm telling you that you come to church to seek his face. You come to church to be changed. Hallelujah. To be changed. In fact, the best attitude to come to church is an attitude of humility. Never go to church with the attitude of pride. Go with humility. That's where you can hear God. With pride, you can't hear God. Because God resists what? The proud. Can you imagine? You are praying to God, but you are proud. He will just push you aside. But he gives grace to who? To the humble. Hallelujah. So the secret place of the Father is His presence. Practicing His presence. Hallelujah.
Praise worship.
Prayer. Meditating on the word. Fellowship with believers. Hallelujah. There's protection in fellowship. Amen. There's protection in fellowship. You know, there's a new song that came out. I like it. But the fact that I like a song does not mean I agree with every line. As I always say, the choir, change this, change that. Because you have to test it with the word of God. Yeah? Amen? He said that Reckless Love. You know Reckless Love? It's a nice song. It is nice. Reckless Love, oh God. And leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. They deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. He leaves the 99. But he doesn't leave them to risk. Amen. I want you to understand that. Hallelujah. The word reckless, you have to really understand it, otherwise you misapply it. God is never reckless. Hallelujah. He declares the end from what? He can't be reckless. He knows the end from what? Hallelujah. Everything he does, yeah, is purpose. 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 Hallelujah. God is what? Purpose. Purpose. Hallelujah. God doesn't do anything by mistake. Amen? God doesn't make mistakes. That's what it says. Immutable. Immutable means he can't make what? A mistake. The devil does. The devil comes in. When things are not going around, don't start blaming God. Hallelujah. God is immutable. Hallelujah. So when he leaves the 99 sheep, he doesn't leave them stranded. He leaves them in the sheepfold with the gate locked. Hallelujah. They are secure. They are what? They are secure. Hallelujah. Now, the sheepfold is the place of fellowship. Hallelujah. When you are in fellowship as the sheep of Christ, you are dwelling in the secret place. When you are out of fellowship, yeah, you are out of the secret place. Just being in fellowship, there's a protection that comes over you. There's an anointing. You see, whatever anointing that is upon this church, as you engage in fellowship, it covers you. You know, Barbara was sharing, even when you're out there, the anointing of the sheepfold covers you because you are what? You are in fellowship. Hallelujah. Now, if you're a sheep and you leave the sheepfold, yeah, you are out of that anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. He said there's joy in heaven over what? Over one sinner that repents. Than over 99 righteous people that don't need repentance. He's not talking about you and me. He's talking about hypocrites. Yeah? The self-righteous, they don't need repentance. Do they? They believe they are okay. Yeah? They don't even want you to preach repentance. Amen? No, they don't repent. They are okay. Hallelujah. Those are the righteous people that don't need repentance. Remember two people that went to church? Or to the temple. One was a tax collector and one was a Pharisee. Pharisee went to God and said, oh, Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. It's God. I pay my tithes. I give to the poor. I do whatever. He just laid down his CV. You know, I said the other one. He couldn't even look up. He just bowed and said, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus said, that one went back home more righteous than a Pharisee that needs no repentance. That's what I talk about. When you come into the presence of God, you come with humility. You forget about yourself. Hallelujah. You are before the Ancient of Days. There's nothing you've achieved that can ever compare. Hallelujah. You see, when we're in church, we're all equal before His presence. Amen. We're all what? Equal. The Bible says we are heirs of the Father. We're joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what money you have. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. It doesn't matter what clothes. It doesn't matter whether you are wearing a heavy-duty jewelry or a very high-heel shoe. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in His presence. We are equal. Hallelujah. Compared to God, we are all small. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the attitude. And so as we practice His presence, His shadow will be covering us. Hallelujah. The reason why his shadow is covering us is that we are in his presence. We are practicing it everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're practicing it. That's why he said, no evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Because for that plague to hit me and overtake me, it must first overtake God. Open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. We're still talking about the secret place. I want you to understand the secret place of the Most High. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. Let's have someone who has not read today. Oh, Andrew, you there. So let's have you. Do you have it? Okay, I don't want to put you under pressure. Colossians 3 3. You know, if you want, you can sit beside. If it won't distract you. Colossians 3 3. Do you want to go for it? Yeah? Are you happy? Yeah. Go on.
For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
For you are dead and your life is what?
Hidden.
Thank you. Give it to me. Hallelujah. Is that for what? You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, he's not talking about that you are physically dead. Amen? But this is what he's saying. As far as the kingdom of darkness is concerned, you are dead. They have no power over. What can you do to a dead man? If you like, strip him naked, he doesn't care. He's dead. Praise the Lord. As far as the devil is concerned and all his attacks, as far as sickness is concerned, as far as disease is concerned, as far as coronavirus is concerned, or no, you are dead. Hallelujah. They have no power over you. Say to yourself, say disease and virus have no power over me. Because I'm dead. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. You have to see. That's the way it will work. You see, Bible doesn't work without faith. Amen? It's faith that makes the Bible to work for you. Hallelujah. You need faith. That's why each time Jesus says, your faith has made you old. It's personal. Jesus did not heal everybody on the earth when he came. Hallelujah. He healed those who believe. Hallelujah. He healed those who believe. So this is my approach to sickness and disease. The Lord will preserve me from sickness. But if it shows up, it will die. Hallelujah. It will die. It will die because my life is hid with Christ in God. And me, I'm on a mission. You see, the mission of sickness and disease is to destroy you. But my mission is greater than this mission of sickness and disease. It has no power over me. I'm living for Christ. Hallelujah. And that's why I know that I must continue to live. I'm in Christ. I'm an asset. See, I'm an asset. To the kingdom. Hallelujah. Believe it. That's the purpose of your existence. Hallelujah. You're not just here to eat jollof rice and fried plantain. Hallelujah. You are on a mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are an asset to the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom protects its assets. Hallelujah. Whether you are at church or at home or at work, you are an asset to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And your life is hidden. Say, my life is hidden. See that? You know, I watch a Christian movie. You should watch Christian movies. There are many Christian movies on YouTube. It's better than all the junk you're watching. You see, most of the things you're watching on TV is programmed by unbelievers who don't believe in God. And they are out to destroy your faith. Hallelujah. So you need to moderate it. What those things will never develop your faith, ever. What they will develop in you is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV at all, but be very selective and intentional about what you are watching. This is what I'm saying. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I was watching this movie, and this man, you know, he was a pagan worshiper before. And then, you know, and in pagan worship, he was into these cults and whatever. And then he gave his life to Christ and got born again, you know, and gave, you know, the Holy Spirit came into him. And then these people started attacking him in his dreams. Okay? But when he showed up, so they sent a demon to him. Okay? Demon appears like a masquerade to flog him to death. Yeah? And then he has the demon. He said, "What are you looking for?" He didn't want to mention his name. He said, "Which of them? Is it the person?" So let's say the demon said, "Looking for John. Is it the John that is dead, or the John that is alive?" Yeah, is it the John that existed before that you know before, or the new John? Sorry. Well, they said, "Well, it's the one we know before." Well, is it, well, as far as I'd like to tell you that the John you knew before has died. Amen. The John you knew before what has died. So I say, okay. Oh, in that case, we're looking for the new John. Well, I say, well, the new John is eating with Christ in God. So for you to touch the new John, you have to touch Christ and God. Hallelujah. That's the meaning. I'm sharing that with you for you to understand that that's how God sees you. If you can believe that, those things will die. If you can believe it and say it. That's why I challenge myself a lot as a pastor. Because I don't want to preach you what I'm not living. I challenge myself a lot. I'm medicine free. And I'm saying that with humility, because I have to live this word. Because if I live it, I can preach it knowing that it works, it's true. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a time in my life, if you see something, you see a swelling in a part of your body, you think, oh, antibiotics. Yeah? Antibiotics. You know? Yeah, maybe you're not on my level, but you should try to rise to that level. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you should operate where I'm operating, because I'm not even at the top. There are people who are operating much better than I am. Humility is the name of the game. But don't stay where you are. Hallelujah. It's swelling, it's bleeding. I keep speaking to you, you must go. Because that's the way I know that the word of God works. Hallelujah. If the word of my mouth cannot kill sickness, where is the power we're talking about? Hallelujah. If Jesus said that, "I will lay my hands on the sick and they will recover," I ought to be able to speak to my own body and it recovers, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You speak to it until it recovers. And I tell you something, every battle you win, your faith is strengthened. You know that it works. Hallelujah. I say the mistake Satan can make is for you to win that first battle. Now, the second battle, you know if it worked before, it can work again. Hallelujah. I say, no virus come near. But if it does come near, it dies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the proof that this Christianity is not religion. Hallelujah. It's true. God created the heavens and the earth. He made man. You know what the first thing God did to man when God made man? Do you know? Why say that? He blessed them. What did God first do to man? It's not instruction. It's not commanded, don't eat. What did he do? He blessed them. Then he said what? Fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over everything that crosses the face of the heart. That includes virus. And that also includes the devil. That's why the mistake of Adam. He didn't have dominion over that serpent. He had dominion. That serpent had no business tempting Eve. If Adam exercised his dominion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's move on and let's try to break it down and show you. Look at Psalm 91. I have 15 answers on my list. But before then, let me just quickly say this, that how do you abide in the secret place of the Most High? We've already given the answers. But I just want to remind you. So, how do you abide in the secret place of the Most High? Like brother said, it's a relationship. So abide in the secret of the Most High, you need to learn to praise Him. Amen. You know, when you're feeling down, yeah, don't start binging or looking for a suitor. Yeah? Some people drink as a suitor. That's not what you need. Amen? Some people just eat. They eat and eat to quench, just to feel better because they're not feeling good. Those are physical solutions that cannot solve inner problem. You know when you're not feeling good, there's an emotional problem. Or even it could be deeper. A deeper problem will be spiritual. your physical problem, yeah, is not as deep as your emotional problem. Because the emotional realm is the higher realm than the soul is the higher realm than the physical. And your emotional problems are not as deep as your spiritual problem. The greatest problem anybody can have in life is what? Is spiritual. Do you agree? So, don't try to solve emotional problems or spiritual problems with physical. So they can't solve it. Amen? You will just knock out that day and then wake up the next day, it's still there. Praise the Lord. You cannot solve an emotional problem with a physical solution. Amen? That's the problem with the transgender agenda. A mental realm problem needs to be solved in the head. You can't solve a problem in the head by changing the body. No. It's just going to be confusion. Hallelujah. It's there in the head. It's need for counseling. Repeated counseling. Consistent counseling until there is a breakthrough. Amen? It's in the head. There's need for renewing of the mind. Amen? You can't solve a mental problem with a physical solution. You can manage it. You know, you can manage it, but you can't solve it because the problem is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Another time. So, faith and obedience, meditating on the word, confessing the word, prayer and fasting, fellowship with other believers. That's how you dwell in God's secret place. But this question, this one I want us to participate in. And the question is, look at Psalm 91, you have your Bible. I have 15 answers or so. He says, how can you activate divine protection? So if you look at Psalm 91, as we read through, you will be seeing there are different keys there showing you how to activate divine protection. Now, I know that many people, when they read Psalm 91, they believe in divine protection, but I think that they don't know how to activate it. So look at Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 16 and give me some keys on how you can activate divine protection. Just look at it verse by verse. What you need to do? Anybody? Of course, the first answer, we all know it. You need to dwell in a secret place, which is, you know, seek and engage with his presence regularly. Don't go for too long without praying. Huh? You know, like I was talking about when you're feeling low, praise God. Praising God does not depend on your feelings. You praise God because of who he is. And God will never change because of any circumstance. He is the same. Hallelujah. When you do that, doors of miracle will open. Even joy will come into your heart. Even in the midst of, you know, the problems. Hallelujah. So dwelling in secret place is one key. A master key, of course, to activate divine protection. What are the other keys? I love that. It's beautiful. Yeah? You know, love is a beautiful thing. Yeah, you know why? Tell me why love is beautiful. Anybody? When you see two people, two young people loving each other, why does it look beautiful? Well, actually, not just young, even too old, even if they are 70, but you see them and it looks like they are in love. Why is that? Why is it that in the natural human mind, there's a good feeling? Except, of course, unless you are trying to, you know, unless you want one of them, yeah? Okay, why is it that when you see two people, it happens to me, I'm walking along, I see two people in love, and it just feels good. Why? Do you know? There's something wired in you as a human being that is sparked to life. What is it? Have you thought about it? Okay, I'll save you time. Anybody?
No, I'll just say, because the love of God is shared abroad in our heart.
But okay, yeah, but these are unbelievers. These are unbelievers. They are not these ones, they curse God. But you still see them. And you say, that looks nice. That's good. That's not bad. Why does it feel good to be loved? And to, yeah.
I just believe it's the right thing to do because in this.
Why is it right?
Because in this society we are now, I prefer that than seeing people of same sex doing things.
That one doesn't give you a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because you know that it doesn't agree with the word of God. Yeah, so I'm talking about a man and a woman. Yeah. Have you thought about it? I'm looking for a scriptural answer that is practical.
Well, for me, I think that it feels good because the person.
Like if I see you and your husband, you're getting along, you're smiling, you're walking hand in hand.
Because in that moment, you're not judged, you're not pushed, you feel special, and you're not pressured. Your sins are not. Like,
I'm not even talking about how you feel. I'm talking about me watching you, and I feel good about it.
That's how I like to be treated.
Amen. I've thought about it many times. I think it's because we are designed for harmony. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So when you see two people in harmony, there's something very special about it. Of course, you know that if you see two people in love and they are fighting, do you feel good about that one? Even if they are married or for 10 years, do you feel good? It's harmony. There's something very spiritual about being in one accord, in harmony. Amen? Two hearts bonded together as one is a beautiful thing. Amen? So long it's consistent with the word of God. Amen? Please, let's go back. So I enjoy that harmony. So let's go to the man first. No, she's had a turn today. She did a Bible reading. Yes? So, we're looking at Psalm 91 and we're looking at how to activate divine protection. Even in a time like this. In this time. How do you activate divine protection?
By making the Lord your refuge.
By making the Lord your refuge. Yes. And okay. I will explain that. That's right. Yes?
Trust in Him.
So, actually, when you give me your answer, show me which verse. So, that shows that you are looking at Psalm 91. Which verse? So I'll come back to you. I know the look at the verse. Just say verse something, and then tell us by making the Lord your refuge. But how do you make the Lord your refuge? It still goes back to verse 1 that says He will dwell in the secret place. Trust in Him. Which verse is that? Verse 2. Can you read it?
He alone is my.
Is that yes?
Go on. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him.
Okay, beautiful. Can you just swap your Bible and give me King James? I just want to treat verse 2 first. In every verse, there's a key to activating divine protection. That's why I tell you sometimes, don't just read your Bible in one version because you may miss some revelation. Yes?
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust.
So what's the master key in verse 2? You have to say of the Lord. You must declare it. Amen? It's not just, trusting God. You must declare, you must say. So a master key to activate divine protection is that you open your mouth and say, the Lord, now you are thinking of everything, you are thinking of that situation, you are thinking of the plague, the pestilence, they say, the Lord is what? My refuge and my fortress. Yeah? Please continue reading that. Continue. I'll say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God. He said, the Lord is my God. No, people say, this coronavirus, blah, blah, blah. The Lord is my God. He's my fortress. He said, the Lord is my, you know what a fortress is? A wall of defense. Hallelujah. You must say it. Now, if you don't say it, even though you are praying, you are not activating all the keys.
Praise the Lord.
You know, yesterday night, I was going to bed. I just noticed that I had this big pain in my shoulder. It just came. I tried to reflect. What did they do? What did they carry today? Then I remembered Sister Frida. Sister Frida had pain on her shoulder. She could not go to work for the whole week. Yeah? Or have you gone to work, Sister? She's better now. She's okay. She's very okay. Praise the Lord. I went to see her on Wednesday. I went to pray for her on Wednesday. And we chased it away. Amen? But then you don't know me that. Oh, Satan, you're trying to throw on me. When I chased away. I tell you, that time is not time to pray. You have to open your mouth and speak. Yeah? I said, this thing, wherever you're coming from, you're not welcome in this body. I refuse you and I command you to leave. Amen? And usually when I die, I would decide not to worry about it again. Amen? When I woke up this morning, it was better. But, you know, it was still there, but it was better. I just said to myself, by the time I'm preaching, it's all gone. Hallelujah. You must say. You must speak to it. You must speak to your mountain. You must speak what you believe. He said, I will say of the Lord. Yes, another key. Tell us the verse and what key you found. Yes, look at Psalm 91. Come on. This is just basic question. Psalm 91. Find a key for divine protection. Yes?
From verse 3, Pastor, I'll say assurance. It says, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the Pharaoh and from the noise of the Philistines.
Nice one, Pastor. You know what that means? When you say surely, and thank you for saying assurance. Yeah? Or can I say, you know, faith. You say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A old version, Revised Standard Version, says, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Amen? That was the first Bible I bought in secondary school. It was Revised Standard Version. Praise the Lord. Assurance, confidence. Where is your confidence? Something has happened now. It has happened. Then you start panicking. You, at that moment, panic will not help you. You need to be confident God is with you. He said, I will not fear evil because you are with me. You need to know that surely is with you, and then you need to say it. So expect God to deliver you. He said, surely what? Surely what? Look, when the Bible is telling you surely, what does that mean? What does surely mean? Sister, what does surely? As a word, surely. What does surely mean?
He definitely will.
Definitely. Certainly. God has done his part. He said, surely I will deliver you. Well, it's up to you whether you will believe that or not. He said, surely. Surely he shall deliver you. So what I did is that when you are now in university, expect God to deliver you. He said, what are you doing? I expect God to deliver me. Oh, you going to do this? I expect God to what? To deliver me. Yes, another key. Psalm 91.
Yeah, so I was saying, this is verse 4. It said, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Then this is the part that I want to bring out. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So I can rest in that. This truth will set me free. I can rest in that freedom.
Amen. Very important. Verse 4. Is it verse 4? Yeah. It said, his truth shall be what? Your shield. Another version says, his faithful promises. Amen? So what I need to, that key is, claim his promises. That's why you need to know your Bible. What promise are you claiming? Like I used to tell God, say, if you are trusting God for a child, don't just spend all your time moving from one IVF. With all due respect. Okay? Yeah? Now, I'm just giving an example. You can apply it in another way. Don't, if you're a Christian, you're trusting God for a child, don't just spend your time moving from one IVF clinic to another. First, find the Bible verse. Amen? The original IVF clinic is inside the Bible. Exodus 23, verse 20. Exodus what? 23 what? I don't want to misquote it. Exodus 23:26. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. He said, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. He said, no one shall be barren or miscarry. He said, I will fulfill the number of your... How many people shall not be barren? Well, except God did not write that. If you don't want a child, okay, no problem. God did not say that some people will not go without children. Please understand me. He didn't say that. Yeah, you can decide that you don't want children. Amen? It's not by force. Someone say it's not by force. Come on. Say that it's not by force. You can decide to be a missionary to... Where do you like to go for a missionary? China? Brazil? You can decide to be a missionary. And decide that, well, because I'm going to be a missionary, I don't want any distraction. No marriage, no children. It's not by force. But if you want children, find the Bible verse. Yeah? It's a faithful promise. Begin to claim it. Begin to claim it. Every morning and evening and afternoon. Let it be your afternoon tea. See, I'm not barren. I'm fruitful. You claim it until it produces. You see, I want to understand that the miracles follow a different law. They are not physical laws. Physical law can tell you this is impossible. Do you understand? You can't say that we've tested you and this cannot happen. That's physical law. Spiritual law creates what is not there. Hello? In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. It was not there. He created it. That's spiritual law. That's why you cannot understand God with philosophy. Philosophy is based on reason. The reason is not the problem. Reason is good. But the reasoning, when the reason is limited only to natural laws, you can't understand God. Because you've limited it to what you can see. What you forgot is that the fact that you cannot see something does not mean it doesn't exist. Hallelujah. So, you are being foolish in your reasoning to say that until it is tangible, it is not real. That's foolishness. Amen? There's physical experience, there's spiritual experience. Hallelujah. There's physical law, there's what? Spiritual. By physical law, Jesus could not ascend into heaven. Amen? Even if he's very good in high jump. He will jump very high and then what? He will land back. That's physical. No. But by spiritual law, he said, oh, you want to go to Brazil for an holiday? What do you need? By physical law, what do you need? How do you get to Brazil? You need an aeroplane. Amen? That's physical law. But when God wanted to transfer Philip from Samaria, I think to Gaza, he just zoomed him there in microseconds. That's spiritual law. Amen? That's spiritual law. Praise the Lord. So you need to claim His promise. Any problem you're going through in your life, find out the promises of God. Claim it day and night until it creates for you a new reality. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's take two more for time. Two more. Any other key you found there? Any other key in Psalm 91? Yes, thank you. Two more keys.
Verse 5.
Verse 5, please look at verse 5. Read it and tell us the key. Psalm 91 verse 5.
Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day.
Okay, so what's the key?
Don't be afraid.
Yes. I've taught it before. Another key for divine protection is refuse to fear. I want you to understand it's a choice. The cause to fear can come. That's not your choice. Are you with me? There may be a reason that arises in your life that causes you to fear. It's not your choice. It was external stimuli. Yeah? But you can refuse to fear. Because he said, do not be afraid. Refuse to fear. Right, let me just say this about fear today. I want to tell you something about fear that will help you. Because in like this atmosphere currently, it's a very practical key. Fear opens the door for the devil. Now, it doesn't mean you have a sound mind. So, you should take precautions where you need to take precaution. Amen? Don't go and throw yourself into a dirty, muddy, infected water. Saying that you're not afraid. I didn't teach you that one. Yeah? Don't go and throw yourself into a shark-infested water saying you're not afraid. That's foolishness. That's tempting the Lord your God. Hallelujah? But when you have situations you have no control over, coming your way, yeah? Refuse to fear. But I tell you, if I told you, if I stopped there, I did not teach well. I have to tell you, what do you do? So first and foremost, fear opens the door to Satan. Fear is like somebody is trying to get into your life, yeah? Imagine someone is trying to get through your door and you're trying to stop them. Yeah? But fear opens the door and says, Satan, come right inside. So refuse to what? Fear. So what should you do? Now let me just tell you the evidence of fear first. I'm going to give you an uncommon evidence of fear. Uncommon evidence of fear is that one of the evidence of fear that you're afraid is you start speaking negative. Anytime you are speaking negative, even if it's not about a virus, it's about anything, it's an evidence of fear. Hello? Anytime you are speaking negative, yeah? It includes when you are complaining. Is an evidence that a particular type of fear is at work. So refusing to fear means refuse to speak negative. Amen? Someone say, if you have nothing to say, what do? Keep quiet. It may save your soul. And it may save your life. But like, tell you, if we stop there, that's not good enough. We need to tell you what you need to say. We are not actually telling you to keep quiet. We're telling you, refuse to speak negative. So what do you need to say? We stop there for time. Just say this and we stop. Amen? Tell me, someone tell me. I believe that the people in this church, they know the word of God. So, yeah, you refuse to speak negative about the situation. Though it's looking like very daunting. What do you do? How do you overcome fear? You refuse to fear. You refuse to speak negative. Then what do you need to do? Sorry? Yeah?
Make declarations.
Make declarations of faith. Is it the coronavirus is coming? I say in the name of Jesus, it will not come near me. If it comes, it dies. That's how you deal with the fear. There's no other way. If you don't do that, you'll be panicking. Amen? And I'm teaching this way to understand that. I say, if it comes near me, it dies. If it comes near my home, it dies. Because, you know, no matter the prevention, you're still going to have to engage. Before we came here today, some people were here. Do we know them? We don't. Do you know where they touched? We don't. You go to workplace. You go to school. You can't prevent everything. Huh? Hallelujah. But you can exercise authority. He said you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You know who the lion and the cobra is? It's Satan. Another version says the lion and the adder or the serpent. Satan is like a roaring one. Who is seeking who to devour? He said you will tread them. How will you tread them? Exercise authority. I bind you. You need to learn to bind. Amen? You bind it in the name of Jesus. He said, I will deliver you because you have known my name. So that name of Jesus, you must learn to use it. Speak it. And say, in the name of Jesus, you have no power over me. I'll stop there for time. One more, let me just share this. If you're at risk of physical violence, yeah? Because sometimes things happen, you say, but this person was a Christian, how could it have happened to them? Open your mouth and speak authority. Say, in the name of Jesus, you cannot harm me. Dare to say that rather than punishing and crouching under Jesus. Just say it. You know, I tell you, when you use the name of Jesus, you are not the one going to perform it. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. So when I speak it, I'm expecting Jesus to show up and do it. Amen? Say, in the name of Jesus, you may be invited to person or the thing or the situation may look very powerful. There's no difference. Whether it's a big man, a big giant, or a big virus. They are all living things, yeah? Say, in the name of Jesus, you cannot harm me. In the name of Jesus, I forbid you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, you cannot touch me. Let me quickly run another key. He said, for he shall give his angels charge over you. You know how you activate that key? Declare! Someone say declare. That the angels of God are what? In charge over you. If God says he will do it, believe that it's yours. Hallelujah. Amen? You are in a bad situation. God forbid. You are in the same way by an accident is about to happen. Don't keep quiet. Amen? Right there. Declare. Say, in the name, the angels of God are in charge over me. Amen? Don't just close your eyes and expect anything to happen. Sorry. Declare that the angel of God are in charge over me right now. You are activating it. Because when you say it like that, it means you believe in. Let's rise up. The way I like us to deploy this sermon today is let's begin to pray about the current situation in the country. But it's the declaration. Begin to declare. Say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, coronavirus. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I break your power. You have no power over me. Declare it. Declare it. This is your insurance. You have no power over me. You have no power over my family members. You have no power over this church. coronavirus, your power is broken in Jesus' name. Your power is broken. We bind you. We forbid you. We command you to die. Coronavirus, die out in the name of Jesus Christ. Die out. Be broken. Be shattered. Be eradicated in the name of Jesus Christ. We say that you do not come near us. And if for any reason you come here, you die. You die. You do not oppress us. In the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over you, coronavirus. We bind you. We break your power. No member of this church is a victim. And in the name of you, over this town, Basingstoke, we break the power of coronavirus. Over Hampshire, we break the power of coronavirus. Over United Kingdom, we command you, coronavirus, to die. Down out in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare the victory of Jesus for healing ministers and every member of this church. We declare that no plague will come near our dwelling place. In the name of Jesus. We declare that the Lord is our refuge. He is our fortress. I say the Lord is our refuge and our fortress. He is our shield and our defense. We flourish in that. We will not die. We will live. To declare the good works of God. Hallelujah. We stand. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. For in Jesus' name, we are free. This is the way you have to approach any other issue. You have to learn to claim His faithful promises. Otherwise, you are not yet in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you do what God has told you to do, if the Holy Spirit now gives you specific instructions, you know, like if you are claiming His promise and the Holy Spirit said go to IVF, no problem. Amen? But start with the faithful promises. Get in gear. Get in faith. Rema will come. If you want the sword of the Spirit, you first need to put on the shield of faith. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit is not the Bible. It's Rema. The one the Holy Spirit tells you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the Bible will do for you is give you the shield of faith. Because faith comes by hearing the word. But as you declare faith, Rema will come. You will know specifically what to do. And the devil has no answer to Rema. It's the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. For in Jesus' name we are praying.